And I'm so glad that all of our hope and victory is in Christ alone. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This will be a verse we'll be looking at quite often during this month as we focus on the subject of sanctification. Like Brother Earl said, it's a big long word and it's not meant to scare us. It's a part of the Bible. It's a great teaching of the Bible. And we want to see what the Bible has to say about it during this month as we focus on truth mattering. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I read verse number 23 and 24. So when you find that in your Bible, would you say amen? All right, here we go. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I'm reading verse 24 is this is how it gets done. It's not us making our own efforts, but we need God's help in it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I guess I've heard excuses all my life since I've been a preacher of why folks can't do this, they can't do that, they can't clean this up, they can't fix that, they can't quit this, they can't quit that. All about how that they can't live in a more holy manner. But I'm reminded of that verse 24 here, that it is God's faithfulness that sees us through. Let's be honest, there's a thousand things, if not every single one of them, in the Christian life that we, on our own, cannot do. But with God's help, we can. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. And so let's think about that truth. Paul is writing to these Thessalonians, a place that he had spent just a few weeks and got a church started. And now he's writing back to them and he mentions this as sort of a part of his prayer. He says in verse number 23, I pray. I thought that was an interesting way he said that. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. And then he encapsulates that on the other end by saying the one that called you is faithful to make sure this gets done in your life. Reminiscent of what he said in Philippians, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Every Christian knows what it is to go through failures. We know what it is to strike out at something, to set some goals and not reach them. You probably all heard about the little boy who was out back one night. He had his bow and arrow and he was shooting up as best he could at the moon. And the neighbor came over and said, son, what in the world are you doing shooting at the moon? You're never going to hit it. He said, well, I'm getting closer than you are. And maybe that's what we need to realize. We make an effort. We set goals. We might not always reach them, but we'll get closer to those goals if we just make the attempt. If we make an effort at it and realize this, that God can help us even when it comes to the matter of sanctification. Let's pray together and then we'll get right into the message a little further. Father, thank you for your word. Such a great truth. And Lord, I'm not fit in myself to share with these people, but I know that by your spirit, you can enable us to do whatever we need to do for you. And I pray, God, that as I share your word to the ears of these people, that you will speak to their hearts. May the Spirit of God be our teacher, our helper, our guide. And Lord, I pray that when we leave here, we'll leave better than we came in and more determined to live a life that will glorify you and be more holy, be more like Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I was just mentioned about Brother Mike, that Maul aircraft. When I pastored in Moultrie, we had a family in our church there, the Powell family. Mr. and Ms. Powell lived probably about 200 yards from the church. I led him to Christ one afternoon in his front yard as he was out there mowing grass. He turned the mower off. We got to talking. He got saved. Wonderful family. Baptized him. And they probably in their late 60s whenever I first met them. And I remember her dad, Mrs. Powell's dad, coming to see us. He had a Pentecostal background. He was raised in an old-timey Church of God years and years ago. And he was probably in his late 80s when I met him. And I can still remember that day. He was a little short fella, I guess probably about 5'5", and 80-plus years of age, probably around 88. I remember seeing him one day, as I met him there, as soon as he shook my hand, knew I was a pastor, he said, I want you to know, preacher, and he stuck both hands over his head. He said, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then he reached down and placed the palms of his hands on the floor to prove to me that he still had stretchability, I guess. I don't know what he was trying to do. I have no idea what doing a toe touch had to do with saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you, that's been probably almost 40 years ago now, and it stuck with me. Maybe he knew if he demonstrated saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost. So we're all going to stand now and touch. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. Several of y'all haven't even seen your belt line in a while, so we're not going to do that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean, that was unkind of me. I apologize. But I'm just, it stuck in my mind. Have you ever heard somebody use that phrase? Now, he had a Pentecostal, a Church of God type background, and I've not uncommon to hear friends of mine that are of that persuasion say something like that. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we as a Baptist church typically shy away from words like Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in the Bible. He is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. We are scared of words like saved, shame on us. We're scared of words like sanctified, shame on us. We ought not to be afraid of words that are biblical. And I don't care what denominational affiliation anybody should be. If it's a Bible truth, then that truth matters. And this truth I'm sharing with you today is about being sanctified. What does it mean? What is the basic meaning of sanctified? It means simply this: to be set apart for God's holy purposes. To me, that's as simple a definition. Now, technically, anything is sanctified if you set it apart. It's stuck over there by itself, not unlike this. We have a piano. Now, that piano could be in a bar. That piano could be in a banquet hall. That piano could be in your home. But that piano has been put in that place to be used in this place for the worship and honor and service of Almighty God. We don't use that for honky-tonk playing. I got Lori off up. She was doing it the other day, and I said, we ain't having that in this place. Michael was up there dancing and everything else, and it was really funny watching him dance. He dances worse than he sings. Can you get an idea of that? Anyway, yeah, I know. It scared me too. I'm just trying to keep y'all on board here. Stay with me now. We don't use that for honky-tonk playing. We don't use that for a bar room. That piano could be anywhere in the world, but we have chosen, with God's help and provision to buy it, have that set apart for special use. This sound system that you're listening through could be used at any venue. It could be in some comedy club where people are blaspheming God. It could be in the middle of a football game and somebody making reference to a ball game being played. So many things that could be done with a sound system. The Democrats, Nancy Pelosi could be on it telling how much she doesn't like Mr. Trump. Maxine Waters could be calling impeach 45, impeach 45. And all that kind of stuff you hear on Fox News all the time. Or somebody could get on and say, Maxine, please shut up. I appreciate, thank you for Minnesota saying shut up. I appreciate that. All these things, again, the sound system can be used for all that, but it ain't. This sound system has been set apart from all other sound systems in the world to be used in this church for a holy purpose, and that's the delivery of the Word of God. Am I making sense to you? Now, these pews, I reckon, could be used anywhere else. They could be used at a rodeo and stacked up. People could sit in and watch a rodeo or wherever else you'd like to use them. But these seats have been set apart for a special purpose to be used for God's holy work. So you understand what set apart is. Now, it wouldn't make sense to have the piano set over there and let it get filthy and dirty and just rot. Wouldn't make sense to have the sound system just decay and nobody paying attention to keep the thing operational and working properly. It would not make sense to set these pews aside for the worship of God for people to sit in and just let them deteriorate and go down. So they're set apart, but they got to be kept up. Does that make sense? Say amen if that makes sense to you. Listen, if you'll stay with me, say amen. Listen fast, I'll preach fast, and we'll be done fast. So thank you. I appreciate that so much. Such carnality in our service. Y'all won't be through in 5 minutes. Somebody was... I'm going to slap somebody side of the head for it. Anyway, y'all want that underwear message, the brief one? And somebody said the other day I should try the Speedo. That would be even faster. No, we're not trying any of them. Woo! All right, listen to me. The piano's set apart, but we got to take care to keep it up so that it stays not only set there, we got to take care of it that it stays clean. Sanctification for a Christian is to be set apart for God's holy use and purpose. But we got to keep us up. We got to keep us clean. One of the best illustrations I ever heard about sanctification was my dear preacher friend, Brother Rick Williams, at Sterling Baptist Church near Brunswick. And I'll give you that illustration right now. That wall, everybody look at that wall. That wall is justification. You don't have to keep looking at it. You can look back now. Some of y'all will be staring at the wall for 30 minutes. That wall represents when you get saved. The Bible teaches this. When you get saved, you are justified. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That happens when you get saved. You're judicially declared by the judge of the universe as no longer guilty. Your sins have been paid for. You are now a child of God. That happens once and for all when you got saved. Are you with me so far? So if you got saved, you are and have been justified and you are positionally set apart. You're God's young'un. You belong to Him. You're part of His family. That wall, everybody look at that wall for 5 seconds. Now don't look at it the rest of the time. That wall represents glorification. That's the day that Jesus comes back and catches us up to be with Him and we all get a brand new body. False teeth are gone. Eyeglasses are obsolete. My back won't hurt anymore. Your sciatic nerve won't bother you anymore. Brother Alvin, you get your hair back. So many things are going to happen when we go to heaven. Now that is glorification. Now listen carefully. I don't care how much you look in the mirror. And ladies, I don't care how many shades of rainbow makeup you put on. You ain't going to be glorified down here. You're just not going to make it. That's glorification. Now, what was that wall? Now, three of y'all is paying attention. It's cooperative today. That wall is justification. So we got justified. That wall is glorification when we land there with the Lord. Now listen, everything in between, the whole floor, is our life between the day we got saved and the day we go to heaven. And this life, this carpet here, represents sanctification. Your and my whole life after we get saved is spent in a time, an era. It might be 5 years, it might be 50 years. But that time is spent with God working progressively in our life to help us become more sanctified in our daily and practical walk in life. So if you got saved over yonder in 1960, and we're somewhere, I don't know where the rapture is because I'm not a date setter, but let's just say it's right over here about the end of this middle pew, that right there is 2018. You should be more separated and sanctified today than you were the day you got saved. There should have been some spiritual growth in your life from that moment to this. There's some bad habits you lay down. There's some good habits you pick up. There's some people you don't associate with anymore because they pulled you down. There's some other people you hang around because they help lift you up and encourage you. There's things that you used to do. You don't do them anymore. Places you used to go before you got saved, you don't go there anymore. And now the place that you didn't go, church, you go. Things you used not to read, the Bible you do read. Things you used not to ever think about doing, praying, you're doing it now. All of that is between justification and glorification, and God is working on us during that time. Sanctification. So the process goes on from the day we got saved till the day we land in heaven. And that process involves God working in my life and on my life and with my life so that it can be more honoring to Him, more praiseworthy to God, and that I become a little bit more like Jesus as my life goes from salvation to the day I land in heaven. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How's that going for you? How's that process? You see, I think that the Bible reveals something in 1 Thessalonians that helps make this kind of clear. I'll give them to you in three particulars in this morning, maybe four, we have time. First of all, it's God's purpose. This is not something we preachers cooked up to try to make y'all live right. This is not something the Baptist church invented. As, you know what? We need our church members to behave themselves. So why don't we come up with a plan, a list of rules and regulations and guidances and ordinances, and let's throw it on the people and put some kind of heavy yoke on them. And if we can get all of them to behave right and dress right and act right and talk right and not go the wrong places, if we can just throw that mantle of rules and regulations on them and they'll go by it, we'll have a cleaner, purer church. That's the purpose that I want to address. And that is that it's not just the purpose of a church to desire that its membership live right. It's not just the desire of the pastor. It is the purpose of God that you live a sanctified life. Back in chapter 4 of this book, if you'll turn back there and read with me verse number 3, the Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence," which is just a big fancy word for unbridled lust, "but also this, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Now I'll stop the reading right there. The purpose I'm saying is this: God's will. Now Brother Mike and Miss Beth, they're headed to Nicaragua. That's God's will for them. God's will for me is to be the pastor of this church right here. I don't know God's will about everything in your life, like whether you should be in Nicaragua or you should be in Spain or you should be in Africa. I have no idea about that. There's a lot of things about the will of God I don't know about your life. But I do know this about your life and the will of God. It is the will of God that you be more sanctified today than you were yesterday. And that's not because it's the preacher's will. It's because it's God's will. And by the way, that doesn't just apply to adults. That applies to young people. That applies to teenagers. That applies to mamas and daddies and preachers and members. It applies to husbands and wives. It applies to parents and children. It applies to everybody. It is the will of God. So number one in this whole process, if I'm giving you particulars, is God's purpose. God wants this done. That's what His will is. This is what He wants done. Probably every parent here would say this: you know, I want my kids to turn out right. I want them to grow up and find a good career, have a good life, have maybe a good family. I want them to be happy. I want them to find just their little niche in life, and I want them to succeed and be victorious. I mean, nobody's praying, "Well, I hope my young'uns fail." I really do. I hope they just bomb out. I hope they mess up their life really bad. You don't have to hope about that. It's going to happen anyway for some of them. I mean, it just, sometimes there's failures that happen in everybody's life. But as parents, we want our children to succeed. And we know as parents, we got enough sense to know this much: there's a few roads that our children be better off not going down. Some of them we went down and we realized they don't need to go down that road. There's potholes, there's washouts, there are big ditches down there. They're going to get in trouble if they go down that road. So we give them the advice that they should not go down that road. It's a similar situation. God's what we want for them. God's wants for us is to not go down a road of unholiness and ungodliness and wickedness. A road that is filled with potholes and damage and hardship and misery. And God desires that we go His way, His will, what He wants. And that's where real happiness is found. It is God's will. It's His purpose. I also know this about sanctification. It doesn't just come about because it's God's will, but also, or His purpose, but rather there's a purchase involved. Understand this much: no one should seek to be holy that isn't first saved. Now, I'm afraid that some people do get the cart before the horse. Some folks think this: if I clean up my life enough, if I quit enough bad things and start doing enough good things, if I can just obey the Ten Commandments to the best of my ability, maybe one day I'll get good enough that God will reach down and say, "You're good enough, go to heaven." Nobody is going to heaven because they're good enough, because nobody's going to ever be good enough. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. So you're never going to measure up enough to God, so that God declares you holy, and thereby you can get into heaven. If you could get into heaven by you doing holy things, why did Jesus die? We just keep working on us, and we're just trying to get holier, and one day we'll be good enough to graduate to heaven. No, we don't graduate without the precious purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ. He died, He purchased our salvation, and therefore our complete sanctification is in tune because it's part of the purchased price. There's also, if I could give you a third thing real quickly, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. None of us can live right and godly. We fight the world, the flesh, and the devil on a daily basis. And if you're not fighting, I've got a feeling the devil and the world and the flesh might have already won the battle. We all have to fight those battles. And in the process of time, the Spirit of God guides us and leads us in a direction that cleans us up. I think about it so importantly. Brother Mike was given the illustration of the man he led to Christ, who now is going to help him with the aircraft. And he said in these 5 years, he's cleaned himself up. Sanctification. Remember, that wall's justification. That wall's glorification. Everything in between is where we live at. And we're supposed to be getting more and more like Jesus and getting better sanctified, more separated, more cleaned up as we ought to be. where we were when we got saved. Hopefully our lives are cleaner today than they were then. Hopefully our minds are cleaner today than they were then. Hopefully our habits are cleaner today than they were then. Hopefully our attitudes are straightened out better now than they were then. It's all about how the Holy Spirit works in your life and in mine to clean us up on the inside and outside. A good friend of ours here, Brother Gary Hanks, he's a pastor in Gaston, South Carolina now, been up there a little over 9 years. And the first time I ever met him, he came to church. He was as long-haired and shaggy a dog looking as you ever seen. He had a big old furry beard, and nothing wrong with the beard. He just looked rough. I mean, he looked like he just got off a motorcycle, and nothing wrong with a motorcycle. I got to give all these clarifications. Nothing wrong, but he looked like he got off of one and he was involved in a gang. Now, there is something wrong with gangs. But anyway, he got off a motorcycle, looked like he's in a game, and come off a drunk. I mean, he looked rough. That was on a Sunday morning. He was already saved. He'd been saved for many years, but he got away from God. As he got away from God, he let things slip in his life until where he stopped going to church, stopped reading his Bible, stopped praying, stopped even trying to keep himself looking clean or sharp. And lo and behold, that Sunday morning I met him. I don't know what I preached on. He came down to the altar just crying and weeping, got his heart right with God, went home. That Sunday night he came back. He went home and had his wife take a pair of scissors and cut his hair, shaved his beard off. Not that he had to do that. Of course, back in that day, you weren't right if you even had sideburns, you know. But my point is, he realized this. If you're going to be right with God, you ought to clean yourself up. And as simple as that sounds, it made a tremendous difference in his life. You could see, even on the outside, he was trying to clean himself up and look better than he did. And then weeks went by. Now, the Lord's still working on him. He's still got a long way to go, trust me. Good friend of mine. But what I've watched the Lord do in his life is not just work on the outside. The beauty of it is see God work on the inside. To where his attitudes and his wanting to do God's will. And the biggest thing really was not so much that cleaning up on the outside. The biggest thing that happened to him that day was he made a decision willfully in his heart to get right with God. You see, sanctification is something God's doing in us, but we got to work it out of us. There is a willful choice. If you don't want to try and be more holy, to clean your life up in attitudes and actions, then you'll stay just like you are. But if you want to, God wants to work with you and in you and with you in a special way so that you can grow and progress in your life. I would love to be more like Jesus every day. I fail so many times. One day when I get to heaven, and one day when you get to heaven, we all going to be like him. But what's going to happen in the meantime? We can't just drift and just still do everything else. We can't look and act and talk and behave and have the same kind of attitudes and frame of mind that the world has, or we have nothing to offer them. We should be different because the Bible teaches that we need to be sanctified. The final thing this morning is, you'll notice in verse 23 of chapter 5, Paul said, I'm praying to God that your whole spirit, that's that part of you on the inside, invisible to the human eye, but it's the part of you on the inside, is conscious of God, aware that there's a God, a place where God speaks to you inside by His Holy Spirit. And then he said, in soul, the seat, the place inside where your emotions dwell. Emotions that often get out of control in our lives. We need God to help us with not just our spirit so we listen to Him better, but our soul so we don't react emotionally when we should be reacting spiritually. And then He even said body. I want to clean up. I don't want to put anything in my body that would dishonor the Lord. I do not want to use my body in any endeavor that would dishonor the name of Jesus Christ. I want to be clean body and soul and spirit. And I cannot, neither can you, do it on your own. But faithful is He which calleth you, who also will do it. That wall was what? Justification. That wall is glorification. Everything in between is sanctification. God is working on me. I'll close with this. Y'all all know that little song probably. Now we're not going to sing it together. That little song that the kids sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Y'all know that one? How many of y'all know that song? Let me ask you this question. Do you realize today that God is still working on you. Don't you give up. He's not going to give up. Don't you give up. Let's pray that God will help us to become what He wants us to be, more like Jesus. Let's stand together.